Go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we go. It is the first day of June 2016. May's done. And yes, we did. We beat the Swede. Thank you very kindly to our buddy Scott in Sweden. We beat the Swede for a cool $90 to get us started. And that means beat the Swede in June is up to $100. Cross fingers. So, as I said, here we go. It is, of course, like I said, the first day of June 2016. It's Wednesday. Yeah. Oh, hi. I'm Bob Kincaid. Thanks for the reminder, Kim from L.A. Yeah, I forget about that thing, that sort of thing every now and then. But I really am. We are at midweek. It's Wednesday, hump day, downhill to Friday, all of that stuff. Which has a sort of special connotation to it here in this little community that we have, and also it being the first day of June, I am happy to announce that Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge, as I mentioned yesterday, is on the table. And I'm also happy to mention that $95 of Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge is met. Thanks, courtesy of Jim. That would be Jim in Louisiana, Stan, and Jim in Spain. As well as our buddy Carol in Las Vegas and Randy, who is the first one, usually the first one in at the beginning of every month. So thank you all. That means we got there's 105 more dollars of challenge opportunities on the table, 105 more opportunities to double your money. Everything up to the next $105 gets doubled. Your 5 becomes 10, 10, 20, 25, etc. You know how to. You're better at math than I am. Okie doke. So hopefully we'll knock that down. And there won't be too much, I won't have to mention much during the rest of the program. Ah, thank you very kindly, Brother Deacon Asa, out on the on the far western coast of Canada. Loud Lima Charlie on my Commodore 64, Brother Bob. I didn't even know those things had speakers. Taking a little break from playing Zork, are you, Brother Deacon Asa? Yeah, and loud and clear, according to our buddy Thomas over at FYINation.com, who adds, thoughts and prayers. Because, of course, you know, this program, for all it is in real time, this program also constitutes a sort of message to the future. I don't know where or if the files of this program will ever wind up. But you know, for God's sakes, the letters. Not that I'm comparing myself to him. He was kind of a prickly little bastard. The letters of Marcus Tullius Cicero to his buddy Atticus. over in Athens, Atticus was a gay man who found the mores and the rather stifling social structure of the ancient capital of the Republic to be a little stifling, and he found and he was also in fond of intellectual pursuits, so he bugged out and he moved to Athens, and Cicero and he shared correspondence over the years. But Cicero's Cicero, I know, just doesn't sound right. It was Cicero. Cicero's letters tell us a great deal of what we know about the ancient world. And there will come a time when others will wonder about the time in which we live. And so, consequently, no, Anatole, not Atticus Finch, just Atticus. That's who she named Atticus. See, you do this to me. The real model for Atticus Finch was Amasa Lee, A-M-A-S-S-A. But in the book, she names him Atticus. After the correspondent with Cicero. Okay, so we've got that out of the way. Are we clear? This is not the time nor the place. But there's a... There's a message quality to all these things, all these programs. And what do you suppose? What do you suppose the one? Will there be a future? Will there be a future United States of America? If there is, how long will it be there? See. Is there some likelihood that we will ever enlighten? Become self-enlightened enough that we will look back on a time like this and say, "Phew, wow, what barbarians." Or will it have a sort of underwater quality? Because of rising sea levels and such like. But I got to thinking along those lines when I saw the news that the campus of the University of California at Los Angeles was under lockdown today. A friend of mine who lives out there and works on that campus sent out a message on Facebook saying, "Hey, everything's okay, I'm all right, just wanted to let people know," because people, you worry in a situation like that, because the SWAT teams and the people in the vests and the helmets and the fire engines and the rescue and the squad cars and the somewhat paramilitary response all sort of went on to sweat condition alpha today because there was an active shooter situation on the UCLA campus. And you have to take those things in brutal seriousness. Two people are now dead. It is being described as a murder-suicide. Two guys. And look, murder, okay, so it was a murder-suicide. I guess that means it would have happened whether it had been a matter of ball bats, straight razors, swords, fists. Well, you really can't punch yourself to death now, can you? But you get my meaning, I trust. But it wasn't ball bats or straight razors. It was a firearm. And as a consequence, you know, we sent out, as Thomas did, thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers, y'all. Thoughts and prayers. No word on whether the shooter screamed out, "Wolverines!" Probably not. But it's proof that the NRA's roulette wheel of death can stop on any community, whether it be a world famous university in Southern California, or perhaps, who knows, someday your town, whether your town be a big metropolis or a sleepy little hamlet. And so this, you know, this message goes out to the future that not all of us are willing participants in the NRA's death lottery. We're not. Some of us would like to make it stop. But we also recognize that we're probably not going to make it stop. Because the forces aligned in favor of keeping the death lottery going are both powerful and wealthy, or perhaps they're powerful because they're wealthy. Some people have not had enough of carnage and bloodshed. You may recall yesterday we had the story of good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gun-demandalist, homosexual James Dobson, who wants somebody to be shot because he doesn't like how people go to the bathroom. Yes, 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 dear listeners of the future, we have people who live at this time and in this place who want people killed over, you know, which rooms they use to eliminate their bodily wastes. Question. Question for the scientific community among us. Is there a men's and a women's room on the International Space Station? Back when we still had a manned space program, was there were there separate restrooms, waste disposal facilities? For that is what they are. We use lots of little euphemisms, but that's what they are. Were there separate restrooms on the space shuttle for men and women? I mean, you know, once we began sending women into space, I mean, because obviously, if you listen to these religious maniacs, and again, dear listeners of the future, you must understand that this is driven entirely by religious hatred. I hope that perhaps there's a place out there in the future where the people hearing that have to run, or reading a transcript, who knows, or maybe having it beamed directly through the little ports into their neck and right up into their brainy places, have to go and what is this religious hatred? What is this religion? Yeah, one hopes that there is a future where that's a real question. But it's driven by religious maniacs. You might want to know that, future. You just might want to know that. But for now, For now, we have people in this country who have not seen enough of blood, who have not seen enough of death. And I offer to you as Exhibit 1, one Larry Pratt, who is, he's now appended, I guess he's getting on in years, he has now appended emeritus to his name. He calls himself the Executive Director Emeritus of Gun Goobers of America. No, Gun Owners of America. I'm sorry. And because he runs an extremely well-funded 501c3 charitable organization that is tax-exempt and therefore sucks away from the commons, he's got himself a little radio show. It's called the Gun Owners News Hour. I'm sorry, dear future. Gun Owners News Hour. Right. And he's right worried about the upcoming election. I'm going to continue to try to stay out of that swamp for as long as I can. But he's right worried about the upcoming election. You can almost tell by nothing but the tone of his voice. But we also have allegedly words as well.
We should take special interest in who's going to replace Antonin Scalia at the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yes.
He was a friend of gun owners. He was a friend of the Second Amendment. Now we've got a 4-4 tie with four liberals and three conservatives and a swing voter.
Right.
And anything can happen. This presidential election that's looming, if a liberal Democrat is elected president, then there goes the Supreme Court. It could be 2, 3, 4 justices. And I think the Second Amendment would be in great peril if that happens.
And at that point, we would have to come to an understanding.
Now the first voice was that of a creep by the name of Robert Knight, who bills himself as a senior fellow at the American Civil Rights Union, which is, hey, that sounds great, the American Civil Rights Union. I mean, they're a union, and they're devoted to civil rights that are American. Right? No, as usual, it's another one of those skeevy euphemisms for a well-funded right-wing think tank that is, in this case, obsessed with firearms. Mm-hmm. The Second Amendment is the only thing that matters. We can all starve to death, and when we get hungry enough, we'll eat our guns, I suppose. But the voice you're now hearing is that of Larry Pratt, Gun Goober Emeritus. Do ramble on, Lair.
Which we've been sort of taught. It's been taught out of us that the courts do not have the last word on what the Constitution is. They decide particular cases. They don't make law. Their decisions, unlike the Roe v. Wade usurpation, don't extend to the whole of society. They're not.
Now that you're emeritus, Larry, I don't think the Aricept is working, buddy. The Supreme Court doesn't have the final word on what the Constitution means? Yeah, that's kind of why they're the Supreme Court, Lair. I mean, at least that's what old John Marshall was saying when he was just kind of being his own little personal thorn in the side to Jefferson, Thomas. And the holding in Marbury versus Madison, yeah, the Supreme Court's going to be the final word on what the Constitution means. Otherwise, what point is there to a Supreme Court? I mean, that's kind of the way. It's kind of the way John Marshall figured it. Yes, yes, indeed, Lady Suki in the chat room. Pratt seems fitting, like Prattle. Yes, maybe we'll just start referring to him as Larry Prattle. But that's not this is where it gets interesting. Because like I said, some people have not had enough of bloodshed yet in the latter half of the second decade of the 21st century of the Common Era.
Their decisions, unlike the Roe v. Wade usurpation, don't extend to the whole of society. They're not supposed to. And we may have to reassert that proper constitutional balance, and it may not be pretty. So I'd much rather have an election where we solve this matter at the ballot box.
But, remember, you'd much rather have an election where we, yes, you got it,
than have to resort to the bullet box.
You got that? Then have to resort to the bullet box. Because, you see, Gun Goober of America, Emeritus, Larry Pratt, thinks that it might yet be necessary for the various and sundry gun-owning people of the United States to commit treason against their country and rise up in arms and start shooting at people in a civil war. Because that's what he's talking about. He is talking about gun owners being willing to engage in a civil war should we ever reach that point where we realize that we are engaging in the worst forms of barbarism with the little roulette wheel o' death that we spin day in and day out. Brother Deacon Gerald notes, maybe good old Lair means that the super duper Supreme Court is the final word. You know, that court over the Supreme Court that doesn't exist? Yeah, that one. Yeah, they decide questions of natural law, and it's headed by an invisible judge, which is why Wednesdays here, just like what today is, are, in fact, prayer meeting Wednesday on the horn. Oh, you thought I'd forgot, but no, I hadn't. I was just running a little bit slow. The little old blue-haired ladies there in the basement of the cathedral here, down in the fellowship hall kitchen, are just outright taunting me now. They know I can't eat the kind of stuff that I really, really love to eat, so they're making it. And believe you me, the mouth-watering it's at flood stage. Oh, mercy, mercy, mercy sakes. Braised short ribs of beef. Oh, yes, 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 yes. And they were seasoned up, and they slow cooked them, and then just turned it over to a couple of spare deacons who just put them over the grill real quick and charred them a little bit. Oh, mercy. And, you know, some of the truck farm corn is beginning to come in, and there was fresh grilled corn on the cob, just like what Tracy Dunn had out there in Southern California. She inspired the little old blue-haired lady. She did. She absolutely did. And the cobbler. Oh, brethren and sistren, the cobbler was a beautiful thing, and there was homemade ice cream, hand-cranked by some of the younger set who have the energy for that sort of thing now. Oh, it was some kind of good. It were right tasty. I cheated and just got the tiniest spoonful for fear of making things go all sideways, but it was dang-licious. And you know it was good, because, I mean, the bowl where the homemade ice cream was shiny. after the deacons got done with the dessert table, and there wasn't a speck. There wasn't a speck of cobbler crust left, and I mean the little old blue-haired ladies. They don't fool around. They don't use that Bisquick foolishness. No, their cobbler crust is homemade and as flaky as you can ever, as flakier than Larry Pratt. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I'm just lucky, Steve from Georgia, Stan. I'm just lucky they didn't make banana pudding this time through. Hopefully, we're holding that off for the celebration of when I'm able to tuck in again, righteous like. But the deacons trundled their bulk up the stairs a couple of flights. They have to take a couple of breaks along the way, but they did go out into the parking lot where they were. Until recently, a smoking with the sinners. As usual, we can always count on Sister Carol Baker to take the sacred cattle prod and the taser of holiness and she drove those deacons right back out of the parking lot, through the vestibule, past that 20-year-old bowl of desiccated butter mints. And right down front, right here, where I can keep an eye on them, where they are awaiting, brethren and sistren, they are awaiting for us to begin the evening's services. So, brethren and sistren, I'm going to call the minister of music forward, and we will have the offertory hymn. Now, remember, ever head bowed and ever eye closed as the deacons pass these heavy brass velvet-lined plates amongst you. Just reach in there. Remember, Shirley in Wisconsin is going to double everything that comes in. So we got a little ways to go. But just remember, your 5 becomes 10, your 10, 20, your 20, 40, up to $105, brethren and sistren. So you can keep one little eye just kind of cracked open so your neighbor doesn't hit you in the head or anywhere else that would hurt with that big old heavy plate. So with that having been said, brethren and sistren, I am going to call up the minister of music for the offertory hymn. Brother minister of music, if you would, please.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen!
Amen!
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity, yeah. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, tang, walla, walla, bing, bang. I love you. Oh, praise, praise, praise be unto the Most High. Glory. It's prayer meeting Wednesday on the horn. Glory, brethren and sistren. I'm a calling to you this evening. I'm a calling to you to get up out of your seat and onto your feet and come on out and come on down that blood red aisle and fall upon your knees at the altar and lay your hands upon the subwoofer and feel the healing rays of common sense of flowing through you from the server on high. Amen. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized, Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan, Bob Kincaid, and yes, it is prayer meeting Wednesday. Ha! Amen. On the horn. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. Amen. And amen. We begin, brethren and sistren, with a note of what might be some grief to some of you. Brethren and sistren, Sister Jan Crouch, aged 78 years, has gone to her long home. Sister Jan Crouch of Trinity Broadcasting Network passed away this week after Jesus sent her a really, really, really powerful exploding blood vessel in her brain. Praise his holy name. She had a big old whopping stroke that the Lord Jesus done sent her in payment for all of her long years of service to him. And so the saints is a welcoming Sister Jan Crouch into the bleeding choir invisible. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. You know, Sister Jan Crouch served for decades as an inspiration to drag queens everywhere. She never did give out her secret recipe for the makeup that she laid on with a brick bat. And she wouldn't tell anybody where she found them wigs. But nonetheless, she were an inspiration. And she died rich. Oh, I mean, God showered his favor on her. She died so rich. And now her blessed youngins are going to set onto each other like a pack of rabid wolves, a tearing and a ripping at each other, trying to get at the money. In the name of Jesus! Amen and amen. We will not see her like again. But then again, we probably will. For wherever some evangelical fundamentalist homosexuals are gathered together in his name, and yea, verily, wherever there is a ready supply of out of date Mary Kay products, there will you find the next Jan Crouch. Thank you very kindly to the deaconate, Brother Deacon Asa and Brother Deacon Gerald dropped a little something in the collection plate. I about said complexion plate. That's what happens when you talk about Jan Crouch. Dropped a little something in the collection plate so that it would not come back a tinkling empty. And I am proud to announce that we have only $55 more to raise on this prayer meeting Wednesday to meet Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge. Thank you, Sister Shirley. $55, that's 11 at 5 or 5 at 11, and you can't divide it by 2 or 4, but there we go. So just during the course of the program, Brother Deacon Gerald did want to send out a happy note. He said, all is generally well with the building grounds here at the cathedral. Except for that one overflowing toilet in the women's bathroom. It should be fixed soon. But until then, all the women folk will have to use the men's restroom. And we will see if we can get a special dispensation to keep from having y'all arrested when you do. Because, you know, that's again the law. It's again the law of man and the law of God. Even if the toilets plugged up and overflowing. So, be aware of that, would you please? Yes. Many members, brethren and sisters of the religion industry. I'm sorry. Also, we have a special prayer request as well from Brother Deacon Gerald. He keeps an eye out for that sort of thing. He is asking a special prayer request for Sister Jan Crouch's family during their time of grief and right before they begin tearing at each other like a pack of rabid wolves. Brother Deacon Gerald says, won't y'all all send thoughts and prayers? Thoughts and prayers. Mm-hmm. And by the way, Brother Deacon Asa, answering a previous question, because Brother Deacon Asa does pay attention to these heathen science things. Brother Deacon Asa says, there are, in fact, two separate poo facilities on board the International Space Station, one service in each module, one the Merka module, and the other the Ruski module. However, they do not have sex. Now, you're going to get people all titillated using words like that, Brother Deacon Asa, or gender designations. Then again, you must realize that these sciencey astrophysicist types are freaking heathens, and they're going to hell straight away. They're not even going to slow down. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Just go straight to hell. Mm-hmm. Sister Heather writing in saying, I read somewhere about how Jan Crouch died. Saw a picture of her with her pink hair and makeup like a hooker. Sister Jan also had a bunch of children's toys in her hands. I have some stuffed animals sitting by the computer, but I don't take them out in public. What was up with that? P.S. I know how the women's room got the overflow issue. I dropped off some friends in it. Well, now you know. Now you know, Gerald. Now you know. And now you know. So, too much information, Sister Heather, too much information. Brother Steve with a message, Brother Steve in New York, the ushers would like to announce that we will be taking a second collection for the toilet paper fund, given the bathroom situation. I'd consider it a plunger fund if I were you, Brother Usher Steve. A plunger fund, and maybe a Drano fund. Oh dear. Yeah, well, we've got some little odds and ends here in the studio as well. We've got a gnome. We got a couple of gargoyles. We got a minion. We got a flying spaghetti monster. But again, we don't take them out in public neither. Tim from L.A., Brother Tim, pointing out, you're in the wrong business. That old bat, Jan Crouch. No. That's Sister Jan Crouch beloved of Christ Jesus, because that's why he sent her the great big exploding blood vessel in her brain, because he loved her so much it was time to come home. Jan Crouch, net worth $50 million. And that will bring out the pack of rabid wolves in any bunch of youngins, won't it? It will. It will. So, Godspeed, Sister Jan Crouch. You never got around to having the little epiphany that Tammy Faye Baker did. Maybe she can show you around a little bit before they boot your ass down into hell. So we got that. Now, what else do we have? We have, brethren and sistren, a lot of people out there in the faith community who are worried, as we noted earlier, about the election. Well, they worry about the other thing too. Quite honestly, more often than they should. I mentioned Tammy Faye Baker a minute ago. Her ex-hubby is still out there working the hustle. You know, last we checked in with Brother Jim, he was selling Mexican Fiesta dinner buckets, but genuine, absolutely genuine Mexican Fiesta apocalypse dinner buckets. But recently he had a conversation with another hustler by the name of Michael Snyder. And they are decidedly in the camp of the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini. Mm-hmm. And they're worried that maybe somebody won't let him be president. I hadn't really thought about that, had you?
I think the church needs a dialogue, because we got two choices. We've got Donald Trump or Mrs. Clinton. So what are we going to do? And you say there's others out there that believe that we may not even get to the election, that there's going to be a martial law declared because some event may take. This is what people, some have actually prophesied this. So we'll see.
Some have prophesied that there won't be a prophesied it, yes. Yeah, Jim's wearing a black baseball cap with a silver cross on it today, with his suit jacket and tie and white shirt. I gotta tell you, it's not working, Jim. It's not working.
We'll see if it's of God or not. But why shouldn't we be aware that, you know, the Bible says God doesn't want us the last days to catch us unaware. Did you know that's in the Bible?
Yeah, it's from the book of Romans, by the way, and was allegedly written by the book of Romans is to the works of Saul of Tarsus as Dark Side of the Moon is to Pink Floyd. Okay, it's his masterwork, and it's kind of hallucinatory. So, yeah.
But maybe God is for freedom. Maybe God likes us to be able to talk and reason together. Maybe he meant it when he said, come, let us reason together.
Now, yeah, but the problem is you can't reason with a fundy, because they don't use reason, they use faith. I mean, they think Adam and Eve rode to church on, you know, the back of a brontosaur.
And on the third day, God created the Remington bolt-action rifle so that man could fight the dinosaurs and the homosexuals.
Amen. That's what you get when you try to reason with a fundy. You do continue, Brother Jim. You got any pudding there, buddy?
Oh. I've tried to not endorse over my years. I've tried not to endorse. And I know back in the old days, if you had one candidate on, you had to have equal time. And I think the equal time law is no longer in effect.
No, that was called the Fairness Doctrine, Jim. And your hero, Ronnie Reagan, did away with that. By the way, just a note to the sound guy for Jim Baker. The guy, some poor bastard's job is to do the sound, and I don't know how he does it, or she, but to do the sound, and I don't know, I think you need to tweak your EQ a little bit on the high end, because he's kind of muddy. Somebody send him a postcard, would you?
But we would still be glad to give anybody time, and I'd ask them all the questions if they're willing to let me ask all the questions. I did that to Ronald Reagan when he was running for president, and I spent 45 minutes with him, and I want you to pray, because that tape has never been seen. And Ronald Reagan, I would like to title it, The Day Ronald Reagan Became a Prophet. And I want the world to hear. I don't know why I can't get my hands on it. I saw it once. It's locked up away from me. And I just think it's time that tape be seen.
Wait a minute, Brother Jim. Why would God do that to you? Why would God keep you from being able to see a tape that you made of the day Ronald Reagan became a prophet? I guess now we have to say peace be upon him. Well, God has his reasons. As does the federal bankruptcy court too, probably. It's probably among the assets that Jerry Falwell came in and cleaned out when he swooped down over Jesus's water park low those many years ago.
Because it will shock America. He prophesied where America would be now. I want you to hear with your own ears. I don't expect you to believe me, you know.
He prophesied that one in our White House. That's hard enough to do with a functioning brain. It's really a neat trick when you do it with your brain made into a Swiss cheese by, disease. Okay. No, says Brother Usher, Steve in New York. A prophet, P-R-O-F-I-T, not a P-R-O-P-H-E-T. It's all clear, all much clearer for me now.
I've been through the mill, I've been beat up, and so you should try every voice, amen? But I'm very concerned for America. And the only reason those who would destroy the church and destroy America can get by with it is because the church has stopped standing up.
Yeah. You know, I've said it before on the program. That
wait, time out. What? Time out. Jack, okay, time out. Okay? The church isn't standing up? You wait a damn minute. As this program proves, Wednesday after Wednesday after Wednesday, with periodic overflows onto, you know, your Thursdays and your Mondays and your Tuesdays and your Fridays, the church is going hammer and tongs trying to drag this country back into the ninth century CE. They're bellowing on every street corner. Oh, the homosexuals, sectionals can get married, and and it's the end of civilization. I mean, we had it just last night, James Dobson, saying that it was going to be a disaster for Western civilization. You know, people just being able to go to the bathroom where they want to go to the bathroom. It's going to be a disaster for Western civilization. You know, just like Vesuvius, you know, Herculaneum, Pompeii, disaster. Yeah, you know what? I bet they had transgendered bathrooms in Herculaneum and Pompeii. Mm-hmm. Yep. See?
Move heaven and earth to do whatever is necessary to keep Donald Trump out of the White House. And yes. So, you know, we've already seen them spend insane amounts of money, and they'll continue to
hundreds
do that.
Hundreds of millions at home.
But if they have to go to
we could feed the poor and the hungry for that amount of money.
If they have to go to far greater extremes than just spending money against him, they will do that because that's how they operate.
Michael, Snyder, what do you think they might do? How desperate is it for them to destroy Donald Trump?
I believe they will go to any length, including, I let us pray for the safety of him and his family.
Yeah.
First of all.
Yeah.
Secondly. They are certainly not above launching false flag attacks. I don't know if you're familiar with false flag, but...
False flag! Hey, listen, Michael Snyder. You say that again, and Alex Jones is going to be on you with a cease and desist order from his bunch of pettifogging lawyers. False flag! You don't want that.
The idea is that you attack yourself and you blame it on someone else, creating some type of disaster, emergency, of that nature.
That's been done right here at Morningside. I've had that done to me by some people, and they made believe that it was for somebody else, but they were trying to kill me. It's really in the whole mix of things.
Were they trying to kill you, Jim? Does that happen for you a lot, that you think people are trying to kill you there, Jim? Does it? Yeah. But there's ever so much more than just that kind of thing. And it's not just, you know, the evangelicals. You want some creepy? I got some prayer meeting Wednesday creepy for you. Who knew the Jehovah's Witnesses were into this kind of thing? Well, I mean, God only knows, but they got a lot of money, just like any religion does, the Jehovah's Witnesses. Been knocking on the door here a lot lately. We're not joining. We're just not. Can't make us. But the Jehovah's Witnesses are worried about little ones that have same-sex parents. And so they've taken to making little animated things that they want to be shown to... you know, kids. You'd think the adults could have this discussion, you know, all that come and let us reason together business, and leave the kids out of it. But, oh, no, the Jehovah's Witnesses. And by the way, kid, if you're a Jehovah's Witness and you ever get into a terrible car wreck and you're bleeding out and you need a blood transfusion to survive, just want to let you know, Mom and Dad are going to let you die. Okay, kid? Yeah, because religious freedom. Isn't that sweet? Sheesh. Yeah, no, really. Subject line, destroy Donald Trump, Brother Usher Steve in New York says, with what? Starting rumors of multiple marriages, raping his wife, refusing to pay people for work, taking advantage of working people, and funding sweatshops? You left out the part where he stiffs where he stiffs people, veterans that he's promised he's making a huge donation to. Yeah, right. Meanwhile, another member of the Trinity of Steve says, Bob, the Mexican race has invaded North Carolina. All the fried chicken stands have turned into taco stands. And Jim Baker started his own baseball club, the North Carolina Christers. What is the white man going to complain about in 30 years? The white man will find something. Rest assured. Regards, Steve in China. Oh, and thank you very kindly. Thank you to Robert and to Steve and Georgia Stan and Karen. Let's see. We are now $7 away. $7 away from meeting Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge. Thank you, one and all. So, back to... back to the Jehovah's Witness animation. What are they worried about? Well, of course, their eyes are on heaven. Only they won't call it heaven. They call it paradise. Just like they won't say God, they say Jehovah, you know, because their God speaks English, and they kind of missed out on that whole... and I don't even fully understand it because, you know, for starters, I read from left to right. But they missed out on that whole pick a vowel, buy a vowel thing that happens in Hebrew. But they're sure it's Jehovah. It's not Yahweh or Ihweh. Or, no, it's Jehovah, damn it. And Jehovah doesn't like the Homer sectionals. I mean, you can ask any believer, and so you wind up with this. Get the hockey puck, quick. Lesson 22: One man, one woe man. Matthew 19:4-5. Yeah, you hear the sound effect of the little children playing? That's because they're in school, except there's one lonesome little girl who's up by the blackboard. She must have misbehaved or something. Oh, no. She's seen a picture on the wall. A picture that one of her classmates drew. And it's a picture of a little girl, and she's got hearts, and there's flowers and sunshine and stuff, and there's two women's holding hands, and she's got two mommies. Oh, no. And the child's happy. And the hell-bound lesbians is happy. Now we
look,
go
Mom,
home.
I drew our family in school today.
Oh, wow.
I didn't have time to finish Caleb's face.
Yeah, this is a little creepy if you know anything about childhood psychology. She shows her mama the picture that she's drawn of her family, and it's her, and it's her mommy, and it's her daddy, and her brother's in there, but her brother doesn't have a face. I mean, this is right up there if she'd drawn the picture using nothing but black and brown crayons. A buddy of mine did that to another buddy of his once upon a time when he was in the clink. It went to visit him and took away all the crayons except black and brown, and the next thing you knew, the guy was having a mental hygiene hearing because, oh, we got a serial killer here. He's only using black and brown crayons.
That's all I had, man. Dude took the other ones.
Big pranksters. But no, her little baby brother does not have a face. Now, she says she ran out of time, okay? But, well, I think a little counselor time, we'd probably find out there was something deeper going on there. Mm. I mean, I'm not kidding. The first time I saw this, I was, Jesus, where's the kid's face? Ooh, that child is troubled. But then again, don't worry. Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe in psychology either.
Look, Mom. I drew our family in school today.
Oh, wow.
I didn't have time to finish Caleb's face. Carrie drew two moms.
Yeah, you laugh, Mama. You laugh about faceless Caleb. Wait till you go in. Wait till you go in some morning, and your precious little darling standing there with the kitchen meat cleaver, and Caleb really doesn't have a face. Yeah, laugh, Mom, laugh.
Oh, I didn't have time to finish Caleb's face. Carrie drew two mommies. She told me they're married to each other. My teacher says that all that matters is that people love each other and that they're happy.
Well, people have their own ideas about what is right and wrong. But what matters is how Jehovah feels. He wants us to be happy.
Because, you know, Jehovah has feelings. And they can be easily hurt by homosexuals. Tender, tender Jehovah Fifis.
And he knows how we can be happiest. That's why he invented marriage the way he did.
You mean one man and one woman?
Well, no, dear. I mean where the father of one woman trades her to the father of one man in exchange for a couple of camels, some sheep, some goats, some chickens. You know, no pigs! No, that kind of marriage that he invented.
Exactly. Look at Genesis 1:20.
Oh, my God. This is delightful animation. God's inventing marriage, and there's naked Eve. Of course, it's all in silhouette, and you really can't tell anything, because, you know, we're talking about children who draw pictures of those baby brothers with no faces. But there he is, in the Garden of Eden, right there, giving Eve a flower.
27. Jehovah created Adam and Eve, male and female. Then in Genesis 2:24, he said that a man will stick to his wife. Later, Jesus said the same thing.
Really? He did the same thing? Imagine that. A guy who's been raised in a tradition where that's what passes for religious teaching, and he says the same thing. Well, I'll be dipped.
Jehovah's standards haven't changed. It's kind of like going on an airplane.
But only if you can take the camels and the goats and the sheep, no pigs, with you that you're trading as the bride price, that kind of airplane. Because Jehovah's standards haven't changed. And, you know, the standards can shift a little bit, because if you're really, really, if you're really special in the eyes of Jehovah, you can have 962 wives and 713 concubines, you know, like David.
What would happen if someone wanted to bring something on the plane that wasn't allowed?
They couldn't.
Like the camel.
Go on the trip.
Right. It's the same with Jehovah. He wants us to be his friend and live in paradise forever. But we have to follow his standards to get there.
Or maybe have a great big brain-exploding stroke like Sister Jan Crouch.
At Matthew 7:13 and 14, it talks about the road leading to paradise. To get there, Jehovah says we have to leave some things behind. That means anything Jehovah doesn't approve of.
But I want everyone to get to paradise.
So does Jehovah. And you know what?
But he's willing. Jehovah wants everybody to get there. But if they don't drop their weekend bag right in front of the gate there and leave it behind, well, you don't get to go to paradise. How in the world is this not child mental abuse? Can we leave Caleb behind? I mean, he doesn't have a face or anything, Mom. No, I'm okay, Mom. They show this to children. To warp their little minds. Do you get the message here? Well, sure. Melissa may have two mommies, but, you know, they're going to hell. I mean, they may think they're happy here on Earth. They might not even die from a great big brain blood vessel explosion like Sister Jan Crouch did. But they're not really happy because they're going to hell. And they're not going to be happy because they didn't leave things behind like Caleb. You got it?
But people can change. That's why we share his message. So, what can you say to Carrie?
Well...
Oh, Carrie, not Melissa. Wait, so this little kid... So here's Mommy setting up her kid to go to school and be cruel to little Carrie. Now, understand that this is being taught to little Jehovah's Witness children, who will, of course, be allowed to bleed to death if they're ever in an accident where they need a transfusion. This is sick. What? Because Mommy asks her, what can you do to help?
People can change. That's why we share his message. So, what can you say to Carrie?
Well, I could tell her about the paradise. I could tell her about the animals and the resurrection.
That's awesome. Let's practice.
And that's where it ends, and that's what they do. They're going to practice telling Carrie that her mommies are going to go to hell and they're not going to get to go to paradise with the animals and the resurrection if they don't stop loving each other and each get married to men and live loveless marriages that are full of grief and woe. Because, see, that's the ticket to paradise. No, I'm not going to use Two Tickets to Paradise by Eddie Money as the bumper. I'm not. You cannot make me. But that's your ticket to paradise. You got to be miserable here in this life in the hope, you know, the sort of gamble, you know, come on, paradise. Daddy needs a new pair of wings. How craps, you lose. Snake eyes. That's what I meant, snake eyes. I don't play craps. I don't know from craps. Somebody's going to, no, don't anybody teach me. But that's what you got to gamble. You got to gamble on getting to go to the paradise with the, and there was a kid holding a tiger there in the paradise picture. I just want you to know that. We're talking about video here. I understand that creates a little bit of confusion, but we are. Lottie, ever the scientist in the chat room, I was talking about, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses letting their little kids bleed out. Bob, you ever consider there may be a reason for that? We'd be overrun by Jehovah's Witnesses. Kind of thinning the herd, I guess. Is that what you're saying, Lottie? We're thinning they self-thin the herd? Oy, oy, oy. I mean, one other thing, just something for you. Well, no, I had it queued up. No, I don't. We'll save it. Ron in the fair and blooming north notes, silly old Jehovah, so out of touch. He must get his internet from Frontier. Robert in Morgantown says, I don't think Jehovah's Witnesses believe in a literal hell. Well, if you don't get to go to the paradise because you stayed all gay married, you just die? Well, okay. And thank you to our buddy Jay out in the desert. Thank you, Jay, for pushing us over the top on Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge. It has been met, and Shirley will be plum tickled to know it. Thank you. Thank you, Jay. Usher Steve. Now, let's not push things. Bumper, Eddie Money's two tickets to paradise? Now, that either happened before or after I said it. If it happened before, Brother Usher Steve is now a prophet, peace be upon him. If it happened after, you're just deviling me. So we'll take us a little break. It's about 10 minutes past the hour. And the phone lines, of course, are always open to you. There are three of them, two on one machine, one on another. You can reach the Stress Line, named for Bill, Mr. Stress Miller, whom I think of just about every day. No, Marty, not Alan Parsons Project Snake's Eyes either. Although that's nice, that's nice. You can reach us on the program, and by us, I mean me and the rest of the community, not me and that mouse in my pocket. You can reach the rest the program at 304-663-4676, 304-663-HORN. The other line, 304-574-8178, 304-574-8178. And Skype to Skype from anywhere on the planet. You can always, Bob Kincaid Horn. And if you've never sent a contact request, then and the spirit is moving you, just send me one and say, just type Horn in the message or something, H-O-R-N, something like that to let me know that you're not eager to share your tips for becoming an overnight millionaire by helping a Nigerian widow move a few million, from Nigeria to where? No, you got the idea. So yeah, break time. Light them up. The phone lines or anything else you want to light up for that matter. Who the hell am I? This is Conversation Radio. This is the Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. See, I thought that worked quite nicely. Culture Club, of course. And you know, I think they're still mad at Boy George, the fundies. Yeah, yeah. Let's run over to the Skype line. Thomas tells me my Skype audio is a mite low, so let me boost that up there a hair. Hey, Thomas, how are you?
Hey, Bob, can you hear me okay?
Oh, you're fine.
Okay, cool. You're a little bit better, so whatever you did is better.
I just bumped the send.
Okay, talking about Mama Jam brings in some technical issues.
Yeah, really?
Yes, because
I don't need any of those.
No, you don't, and neither did I yesterday, but I dedicated 45 minutes on her, and she done haunted us real good for the show.
You've had a haunting?
Yeah, we had to call the Ghostbusters, and they didn't come 30 minutes or less. But seriously, though, I don't miss her. she's just, her, that TBN legacy of spiritual nonsense and gobbledygook, when we are in the future, I'm hoping it will be looked at like how they look at, it in Star Trek, obligatory Star Trek reference.
Absolutely.
You know, where it's just like, okay, we evolved, you know, like Hillary Clinton, sorry.
You're trying. Me too. But I can tell you this much. There are benefits. There absolutely are benefits to not paying for cable or satellite dish or any of that other stuff, because it means you're no longer subsidizing the religious hustlers. Because, for instance, if I signed on with Shentel, which is my local cable provider, and I could do just as well by stringing a couple of empty dented tomato cans together and screaming programming at Agnes from about 50 feet away. If you get their basic package,
mm-hmm.
At least 6 channels are electric god.
Yes, I have,
and it pisses me off to no unholy end.
No, I agree with you. I have Comcast, and I can tell you right now, I have, and I'm not even looking at the TV, I can tell you what I have. I have Daystar because I see their damn commercial all the time. I have TVN because I occasionally want to be a masochist. I have EWTN, which is the Catholic channel. I don't know how that's a thing. Those are the ones that I can think of off the top of my head, and I know there are more.
Oh, the Catholic channel, Eternal Word.
Yes.
With that really old creepy looking nun lady who won't die.
I love when they do the. I do love when they do the rosary though. That's not creepy at all.
And especially when a creepy old nun lady's doing it, it doesn't have any lesbian overtones in the least.
Blessed
is the fruit of your loins.
Not really. Did you see the laying on hands video that I posted in your group?
Sadly, yes.
I could not. I usually get mad, really mad at the prosperity healing gospel crap because of my health issues that we've talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
I could not get mad at that. I just, one, it was Pastor James David Manning, everybody. And two, it was...
You're going to make me do that, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Please.
Okay. Just remind me real quick, because I can't. It'll be a little complicated trying to get to it.
It was the one where he is putting...
No, but where did it come from? Is that a Right Wing Watch clip?
No, it's actually from his Outlaw ministry. It's like the third one down. I literally got it from his home... Because
how did the poor tortured little interns at Right Wing Watch miss this?
Not enough Red Bull.
There it is. Do we want to do this? I mean, it is prayer.
Well, I'm going to later, so you don't have to.
Oh no. About how far do I want to go into the clip?
No, it starts right off with him laying his hands on his wife's breast. So you.
You know, I only get to do that when Agnes is in the mood. But I mean,
yeah, he gets to do it all the time because he's healing her.
Okay, stand by.
Yep.
this is special. Now this is the man who this is just to remind folks, this is Pastor James David Manning of the Atla World Church in Harlem, who thinks that every time he goes to Starbucks, somebody puts a little jizz in his coffee.
That would be me. Just saying.
I had no idea. It's a call from Harlem.
Here, Elizabeth has no cancer. She has no sickness, has no diseases. But at night, when we sleep, I put my hand over her breast and I hold her breast in my hand. That's right. You know, I've been doing it for years. So she don't get breast cancer or anything else. And I know that that's where the children get their nourishment. So I put my healing hand on her breast at night, and then we go to sleep.
Well, now he seems rather of an older guy, Thomas. And she's still breastfeeding the youngins, I take it.
Well, apparently that's a thing in Harlem.
I don't think that's a thing in Harlem. I think that's a thing in, like, James David Manning's bedroom. But
well, okay. In Harlem.
One cannot help but wonder if she's got his hand on her breast, is she at risk of uterine cancer? Tough crowd.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry.
My healing hand on her breast every night. I hold her breast while we sleep. Yes. Brothers, you can do the same thing.
Damn, while she's asleep, and it won't be a crime.
Somebody tell Bill Cosby stat.
I think we have a defense.
You can do the exact same thing and heal. Maybe your wife has got breast cancer. Well, put that healing hand. Come and let me anoint your hand. Come and let me anoint your hand.
Look. You know, sometimes I wonder if this is that. Because there are a lot of people out there, Thomas, who are not satisfied that Andy Kaufman really died.
Yeah, true.
the emphasis he put on the word come there.
Oh, you notice that too?
let's make sure everybody notices it.
Okay.
And come and let me anoint your hand.
I don't want him anywhere near my hand. I just want to point that out right now.
I can't tell you how. I'm about this close to turning that into one of those little sound clips that I play from time to time. You know, the sound clips like the one that goes, you know.
What are you people on dope?
Yeah, no, I have plenty
come
of those myself.
On your hand. Come, let me anoint your hand. Ha!
And again, reminder to everyone, just in case you missed it, all tax-free.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah.
So that you can then have healing hands. But you have to be whole yourself. You got to be made whole. Let me say something to you.
I bet Mrs. Manning is sitting there saying, I ain't never going to tell him even if I do have rectal cancer.
Rectal now? I thought it was... No, never mind. You're not nice, Bob.
This was not made for nice. I'm not the one saying, let me come and anoint your hand.
That's true. You didn't start the fire.
Well, right. And, you know, I I'm proud to say that I'm, the internet being what the internet is, it's not like radio where I say it and y'all hear it. And no, there's a little bit of delay involved. And even as this was playing, Bob in Texas was typing furiously. Subject line, healing hands. What about protecting against colon cancer? Oh, what a little family we have.
Yes. Amen. I'll praise be.
I'm gonna put this way up there. just delight. Wait a minute.
You don't get to do that.
I'm going to put this right up there with the night that Devin called in with the story of the guy who won the coal miner who won the case against his coal company. because he didn't want no mark of the beast on his hand, and therefore wouldn't use any electronic means to check in, which would have meant that, because he had to write it on his time card for Jesus, and that way, you know, he could bump himself an extra quarter of an hour along the way here and there.
Oh, Bob, I'm honored.
That was a special night.
Oh, by the way, I do also want to point out that he could actually do this on the internet, like Bob Larson, and charge a fee. All you would have to do is put your hand on the. Should I not give him ideas? Is that bad?
No, do not even whisper that into the ear of the universe. Wait a minute, I'm in the wrong racket.
We are, yes.
Meanwhile, Brother Usher Steve says, Mr. Atla, I'm just waiting for that old pervert to tell men to bring their wives so he can lay his hand on their breasts. Don't give him any ideas, Steve. I mean, you're in New York, buddy. God only knows what he does to cure the gay, Steve.
Well, he did have a bout of curing himself. That was with the Cenk Uygur interview, where they actually asked him, and he was like, yeah, no, I fought that off, and I'm thinking, how'd you fight that off?
Is that what we call it now, curing ourselves?
Yes, clearly.
I thought I was just washing it too fast. Tough crowd.
He say something to you, you need to have the word of God preached to you to clean out all that sin in your life. You know how you can be healed? You know how you can get the best doctor's report? You know how you can get every report from your prostate to your colon to your heart to your blood pressure? You know, you need to have the word of God will clean all that stuff out of you.
Yep, see? Prostate, he went there.
And by the way,
Steve, stay out of Harlem.
By the way, Bob, I just want to point out, this is why we don't need Medicare for all.
This is why we can't have nice things.
Well, that too.
Oh!
The word of God will heal you. The preach word of God is like fire.
Really? It's like fire? Like when you go to the Mexican restaurant, you drink too much, and you say, no, make it hotter. And the next morning you say, why did I do that? Like, fire!
But you're going to get to the best part, Bob.
Yeah, we're getting there. Don't get in a hurry.
There is the best part.
There's a process here.
Remove every cancer and every sickness. You got to believe. You got to believe the word of God. And then you can get healed. And when you get healed, then you can hold your wife's breast at night. Any place else you want to hold. But you got.
I told you.
See, I told you there was the best part.
There anything else you want to hold?
Again, Bill Cosby's defense right here, everybody.
Yep. Perry Mason, eat your heart out. Matlock, blow me.
Ew. Visual, Bob. Visual.
Oh, yeah, sorry. TMI. No.
See, that's the sort of stuff you expect me to say. What the fuck?
Well, you're a bad influence.
Clearly. Nikki's going to tase me, for Christ's sake. I'm going to need your healing hands.
How is Ms. Nikki?
She's doing. She, we're going along to get along.
Oh, Bob in Texas has gone overtime on us. He's gone pro. Subject line, healing the prostate. Should we go to a prostate toot?
When he heals the prostate with his hand, does that make him gay?
Does that make it fisting?
What? Bob, what the fuck, man? You cannot pin all this on me.
No, you're a filthy influence, Thomas.
But I've been healed, so I don't know what the hell's going on with you, Rick.
Well, obviously, no one's, never mind.
The first get healed. Get that disease out of you. Let the word of God clean you up. The word of God will wash you. It'll wash every sickness. It'll wash every disease. It'll wash you.
In a bathhouse.
Hey, well, I like
a lot
those.
Of people, you know, they think that they just want to hear the word of prosperity. You're still going to be sick and can't spend the money if you get it. And if you get it, the devil going to bring it to you. It's going to be contaminated with strings anyway. No.
Well, you just can't win now, can you?
No, we're trying. That's why you got to give your tithe.
I mean, if you give to Brother James David Manning of the Atla World Church, God's going to give it back to you, press down and shake it together. But apparently, he's going to send it to you via Satan, and
whole new meaning to Satan inside.
No, it's a veil of tears.
You need the Word of God. You need to be rebuked. You need to be preached to with all long suffering and doctrine. You need the whole Word of God. Some things will deal with, you know, prosperity, maybe will deal with something. But when you got heart disease, you need a rebuke. You need somebody. When you got a demon, when you got cancer, you need the Word of God. You need a rebuke that will cut that. You need the whole counsel. You need to preach it. You need to get to where the Word. You need righteousness.
You need the balloon catheter of holiness.
So explain to me, Pastor Manning, Mama Jan. She
didn't have the whole Word of God. She just had the Mary Kay part.
Did he not get to touch her breasts often enough? Find out the real, like everything else?
Special, special, special. Yes, indeed.
If we take the comedy out of it, right? And we go.
And how do you do that?
Very artfully. It is an actual. I mean, if you buy into the prosperity bullshit, right? It is a logical assumption to then go to. Well, yeah, he's right, because I got to be well to be able to spend my money for Jesus. So I clearly need to get, you know, touched. Like, you're not already, but leaving that aside for the moment.
Well, we got all kinds of questions here.
I opened up a Pandora's box.
Is that Mrs. Manning's name, Pandora?
No, I think it was Elizabeth, like the queen.
Brother Usher Steve in New York says, how's he going to wash out colon cancer? And with what liquid?
Drano.
That was too quick.
Pastor Manning, venom sauce.
You have thought about this.
Yes, I have. I have watched this not more than three times, Bob. And
not more than or not less than? Be honest.
Not less than. Okay. We're talking about God here. You shouldn't lie on God, or you might get touched. Did Jesus touch you here, or did he touch you here? Yikes.
Where did Jesus touch you?
Pointed where on the dolly Jesus touched you, Bob.
Hey, by the way, you know, I mean, these preachers are a pretty revolting lot. No kidding.
Well, yeah, because the whole emphasis is you have to believe. And if you're not being strong enough in your belief, right?
No, it's your fault.
Yeah, it's not God's. It's not mine.
Mrs. Manning believed that if she got groped in the middle of the night while she was unconscious, that demon of breast cancer would go away, you know, if she ever had it. Because, see, that's one of the problems you run across with these hustlers is, as has been noted by far more eloquent folk than I, the Almighty is forever out there healing cancers.
Yes.
You will never find one of these people out there saying, yes, hallelujah, glory. My left arm was gone from below the elbow, and I woke up one morning and Jesus had growed it back. Not even so much as a fingernail does he grow back. Cancer he's got.
Well, to be fair, you can do a lot with an Armani suit and a wave. Just ask Benny Hinn.
Jesus Christ, not Benny Hinn. Say Bebe, Ernest Angley.
Did I bring some sunshine into your night, Bob?
Oh, I'm just absolutely up to my gazoo with sunshine. But what I was And I don't want my gazoo touched either. Thank you.
Damn it!
If my gazoo gets cancer and falls right off, I don't want anybody touching it while I'm not awake.
It would grow back though.
I doubt it. But these, and you know, there's only one word: assholes are out there, and they're protected by the Constitution, kind of the way the Endangered Species Act protects. You know, a little bit.
Not really.
No, because the Endangered Species Act doesn't. But, yeah. Ron in Raleigh wants to know, wait a minute. Can we get this fool for practicing medicine without a license? By the way, the prosperity ain't for you. It's for Pastor Manning and Creflo Dollar and the rest of these gospel grifters. Oh, I think you figured it out, Ron. And Jack in Shreveport, under the subject line healing, says, how many demons does God take from him if he takes a huge dump? See what we've done here.
Yeah, well, you have an out, Bob. You can blame me.
Yeah, some people complain about people working blue, and apparently now we've moved straight over to working brown.
I gotta
get to this for you. So, yes. These people are assholes. You ever heard of Brother Dean Saxton?
No, that's a new one for me.
Okay, he's an asshole who's a street preacher.
Oh, those are fun.
And he goes around, everybody's going to hell but Brother Dean Saxton, of course. And, of course, he likes to video himself because, you know, what does God need with a smartphone? Second Star Trek reference. Oblique, though it is. And so he went to Apollo High School out in Arizona, Stan. Carrying a sign, and this is odious as hell, okay? This is the speech that is protected by the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. I want to make that abundantly clear.
Indeed.
And this is speech that we can't say, don't talk like that. The government cannot forbid Brother Dean Saxton from doing this. Brother Dean Saxton is walking around with a sign that says, and I quote, you deserve to be raped.
Santa Bill Cosby? Sorry.
That's okay.
it just popped in.
No. It was in you and it was in the moment. I understand. But really, I mean, if you go back to those, you know, the I mean, it's hot, it's sweaty in Philadelphia. The yellow fever is probably going to break out any minute. You got Madison and Franklin and Hamilton and Washington and Caesar Rodney and and they're trying to pull together the Constitution, and they're all saying, look, Mr. Madison, it's all well and good what you and Mr. Hamilton have cobbled together here. But if we don't have some sort of guarantee of the individual liberties of people, this ain't going to happen. Okay? It's just not. And Madison keeps saying, yeah, but why would the government ever even do that? We don't care. We got a list of stuff that you're going to have to promise the government won't do. Okay, freedom of the press. Okay, freedom of religion. Okay, freedom of assembly. Okay, freedom to join a militia and have a gun. Freedom not to have the troops quartered in your house. Freedom that the government won't come busting through your damn door and just take all your shit some night. The freedom to not be tortured into admitting your guilt even if you're not guilty. The freedom to have a damn jury trial, okay?
Yep, I'm with you.
Bill of Rights. And grudgingly, Madison says, oh, what the, okay. Because, I mean, these were all Enlightenment folks. And they were not going to suppress any religions because, well, God Almighty, they could just turn around and look right over their shoulders. And there was century after century of waves, oceans of blood flowing across Europe from the government. Various governments trying to favor this religion or that, mostly Roman Catholicism. But okay, so we'll have a First Amendment. We'll have freedom of religion. We'll guarantee it in the Bill of Rights. Groovy. Can we please have a government now? Okay.
This is
the First Amendment. Walking around in front of a high school with a sign telling women they deserve to be raped. That's the freedom of religion that we're protecting.
Well, here's the counter argument to that, though, Bob. If we didn't have that guy, we wouldn't be here because there would definitely be somebody like Donald Trump.
Oh, no. That's Jack Nicholson getting pissed off at Batman. Okay. I'm here because you're here. I created you. You created. Oh, stop it. You remember that scene?
Well, I that was wrong Batman, but I know what scene.
But this is Michael Keaton Batman.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I'm Batman.
The best one, by the way.
Well, I think. European societies prove every day that you don't have to let people walk around with signs saying you deserve to be raped. I'm betting that by the time he hears this, our buddy Scott in Sweden will say, no, the Swedes would not tolerate somebody walking around with a sign saying you deserve to be raped. Chris in Germany will respond and say, no, Bob, the Germans most definitely will not stand still for some gospel sharp walking around saying you deserve to be raped. It ain't okay in the UK. It's not okay in Japan. They probably get away with it in Australia. I don't know. Robert, you tell me. You can do it in Brazil. You can probably do it in Argentina. You can probably do it in Colombia. You can probably do it in Mexico. You can't, I'll bet you, Ron will tell me. I'll bet you can't do it in Canada. Betcha, Brother Deacon Asa will chime in on that one.
So, well, then my question to you is, Bob, does that make us more or less civilized?
Less!
That you can.
Less!
Because the counter-argument I always hear is that makes us more. And I'm for regulation. I'm a socialist, right? I'm more socialist than Bernie Sanders. I am totally for speech regulation. I'm for repealing and replacing the Second Amendment, which gets me yelled at every time I say it in this house. But we have what we have right now, and until we get, you know, a smart bunch of folks, God, I'm sounding like Obama, to actually get off their asses and vote and give us a democratic socialist society at the very least, we're not going to get to where we want to be.
Well, but I don't know if you'll ever get to what I'm talking about here, Thomas, because what I'm talking about is not legal. It's a radical... it's a radical rethinking of how we exist as a society.
So, all right then, I agree with you. Then here's my next question: if we had zombie, you know, founding fathers, right, and they came from the dead and was, you know, that new TV show on A&E. And they saw their creation. Would they, your thoughts on their reaction? Would they somehow go, oops, you know, what would their be reaction to what they created and what is left in their name and how the right wingers are arguing about it? Then?
You do that very nicely, by the way.
It's the half German in me. Not by touch of hands.
But well, okay, so this, I mean, what you do when you do this, okay, I got a note in from Robert in Australia, subject line, you deserve to be raped? Robert says, I'm not sure what the law says in Australia about such signs, but I doubt anyone with such a sign would last very long. And what you do with this kind of thing is you invite people, because this is, you know, carrying a sign like that is called incitement.
Agreed.
Which is supposed to be illegal, but we will let the white wing get away with it because white wing, and because they get to hide behind the lacy little skirts of the First Amendment and the religion industry. So here's what that gets you. He's standing outside. He's screaming outside of Apollo High School. There's kids standing around looking at him. And this happens. Now, there's going to be some back and forth and everything. We'll take about a minute of it. Wait, where's my damn audio?
It wasn't me.
Oh, wait, I got the wrong button. That's where the damn audio is. I can't be trusted with this stuff. So like I said, we'll take about a minute of it. I've got the wrong... Yeah, there's the right channel. Too many channels. Here we go. So they're laughing at him. There's an adult there trying to get the kids away from him. Kids going, who are you? You know, an authority figure, a white male authority figure in a white dress shirt. Hey, come on, move along. Go ahead, get away. Don't stay near the nasty man. Right?
As you do. Yeah, as you do.
Somebody calls him a pedophile.
Probably not enough.
Hey, listen, I don't know if you're all there or not.
Okay, so another adult comes up, and he's not happy, and he's gonna express himself.
Huh? Hey, listen, I don't know if you're all there or not, but you need to take that shit somewhere. These is kids, man. I don't know if you playing with a full deck, but these is kids. You don't do that around kids. Why don't you go on the corner down there where you're supposed to be? You hear me? These kids ain't got time for you. You know, is you sick in their mind or something? These kids don't need to see this around here. You can.
No argument. And yeah. the guy who, you know, I don't know if you're sick in the head. No, he's not sick in the head. He's just a privileged white Christian who thinks that he has the right to be as nasty as he needs to be in order to achieve his Christian goal. Right?
Agreed.
And by the way, Brother Deacon Asa says you can't do that in Canada. But then again, we don't have freedom of speech. Yeah, all those poor people living in the totalitarian dictatorship that is Canada.
Bastards.
So this guy uses a couple of not particularly nice words that you couldn't use on censored broadcast in America, but we can use on the internet. But he's right. You don't need to be doing this here. But of course, he can do that there because Jesus, right?
I really do. I'm praying for you. I hope you find a life.
Yeah. I hope you find a life.
These kids don't need to see this around here. You can look all crazy as you want. Obviously, you ain't playing with a full deck. You're lucky these kids around you. You know, if these kids weren't around here, I better knock your ass out already. I'm going to be honest with you. You need to take that shit and go somewhere else. Now,
you need to take that shit and go somewhere else. You know, if all these kids weren't around here, I'd have knocked your ass out already.
Okay? That doesn't sound well.
And he doesn't. He's not doing anything. He's not raising his fist. He's not yelling. He's not cussing. Okay? He's not providing any threat whatsoever.
I wish you would turn that shit on and say something. I'll take your phone and take that shit from you, too. These kids don't need to see that. Hey!
You know what that sound was?
No, I don't.
That whack! That sort of... Wait, let's get it again.
You're lucky these kids around you. You know, if these kids weren't around here, I better knock your ass out already. I'm going to be honest with you. You need to take that shit and go somewhere else. Now, I wish you would turn that shit on and say something. I'll take your phone and take that shit from you, too. These kids don't need to see that. Hey!
You hear that kind of metallic ping?
It sounds to me like a
That's an aluminum baseball bat.
Oh, Jesus. I thought it was a
That's an aluminum baseball bat getting upside the head Brother Dean Saxton.
Jesus.
Okay, that was not the guy who was talking to him didn't do that.
Oh, okay.
Instead, a 19-year-old girl who did not appreciate being told that she deserved to be raped came up with a baseball bat and whacked him a good one right in the head. Okay?
Yeah.
Because, you see, in my world, Thomas, he incited her to do that. You deserve to, I don't even know if it's on the books in Arizona, but there are these things out there called fighting words statutes. There are some words out there that are so extreme that they are the equivalent of a physical blow.
For instance, the N-word.
For instance, you deserve to be raped.
Well, there's that too, yeah.
Said to a 19-year-old young woman. Or you deserve to be raped, said to someone who has been raped.
Yeah.
And so she engaged in what they will tell you in law school is called self-help. And she took an aluminum, I presume, softball bat. It says baseball. I'm guessing softball. She took an aluminum bat upside the head of Brother Saxton. Because he said that she deserves to be raped. Now, our brother Marty is a baseball fan. He said, sounded like the young woman who swung the bat popped it up. No solid contact. That was a softball bat, by the way.
Okay.
Brother Marty can tell by the sound.
Oh, wow. I thought it was a golf club, honestly.
So, 19-year-old Tabitha Brubaker has now been charged with felony assault. And the cops charged her with marijuana possession, too. I'm sure the marijuana's made her do it. Not the you deserve to be raped part. You know, he's standing there screaming, the Bible says it's not okay to be gay. You need to stop doing naughty, nasty things, Apollo High School. You need to stop looking up naughty, nasty things on the internet. You remember the goofy lady from last week?
Yes.
Why can't they leave our schools alone?
Well, because they're touchy-feeling people, Bob. They think they in their, you know, head, ironically enough, think they're doing right, and they're not, but they think they are.
But the thing is, I mean, so this woman, this young woman, this 19-year-old young woman, Tabitha Brubaker, is going to have her life ruined because she was driven to try to eliminate some hate speech from her sphere.
Well, if the prosecutor is smart, which I doubt,
it's Arizona. Come on, Thomas.
You can have hope and change, but not
both. I can put it all in one hand and in the other and see which one fills up first.
That's true. I saw this story earlier, and I'm glad we're talking about this because I didn't know what to make of it.
This is a serious story.
No, I agree with you. And that's why I didn't know what to make of it, because I'm torn with this. Because he is inciting. But to me, that's to the extreme of what she should do. But she was clearly fucking provoked.
Than three adults had told him to leave.
To me, Bob.
But his Jesus privilege told him that he didn't have to.
Well, if the prosecutor is shit, this is where a good defense comes in, and the defense is simple, and it's beyond simple, like this man. It comes to, you got into my space, you provoked me, you were asked to leave. You wouldn't leave. I felt abused. Just like, think of it as the original domestic case where a man abused. Thank God she's a woman and did this, because sadly in our society, if you're raped and you're a guy, it doesn't matter. Coming from somebody who was sexually assaulted when he was younger. But that being said, she can use, I would have her defense as, it emotionally harmed me to the point where I had to do this to make it stop, because when he was asked, he wouldn't stop. I felt abused. And that has to be the defense, because that is what it was. He was abusing everyone there with his bullshit, just as the Westboro Baptist Church people do on a regular basis and get away with it, and everything else. And I'm sorry, not really, that the consequence was a fucking softball bat to the goddamn head. Finally, someone batted 1,000.
Yeah, and by the way, Brother Marty says, Brother Marty plays the game and knows his bats.
Yeah, and not for nothing, Bob, where the fuck is her GoFundMe campaign?
That's a damn fine question for her legal defense.
You know, because
I think she should have the best criminal defense lawyer in the state of Arizona.
Exactly, because she deserves it. Because
I hope she doesn't plead. I hope she takes it to trial.
I do. I totally agree.
Because I want that crazy little prick, Brother Dean Saxton, on the stand. And I want him to be given an opportunity to explain to a jury of 12 tried and true, or 6, or whatever you get in Arizona, how Tabitha deserved to be raped.
Yeah.
And I want him to explain to the jury how they deserve to be raped. Their children and their daughters and their granddaughters deserve to be raped in the name of Jesus.
No, and I therein lies our agreement. And I'm glad you're doing this story, because I would have not gotten to this point, because I would have been too angry and frustrated, because I understand the defense of I'm not a violent person. I've dealt with violence before. I don't like it. But I totally, talking this out with you, I totally get it now. And the defense has to be provided, and they have to go after the fact that he was mentally assaulting her by staying there when being asked to leave. He may as well raped her. Has to be the defense.
Well, it's not necessarily rape, and you know, I don't want to trigger anything for anybody, but it's what he did was the equivalent of coming up and striking her.
Well, yeah, but no, and I don't either. But as someone who was assaulted, I know damn well that there are certain things, and as you said, triggers, where it brings you back into that moment, right? And the reason I say may as well raped her, how does he know that she wasn't and she's never told anybody?
Ta-da!
You know? How does he know that she hasn't suppressed it all this time? He doesn't. So, dude...
No, wait! Yeah? He doesn't care! Because Jesus tells him to go and do this. Now, I'm sure that the crime of incitement is on the books in Arizona.
Yeah.
But I'm also almost equally sure that prosecuting attorneys are elected in Arizona, or district attorneys, or whatever they have.
Yeah, yeah.
And if the cop, who, for all we know, was a Christian, had charged Brother Dickhead for the crime of incitement, the prosecutor would have to agree with himself that he didn't want to ever be a prosecutor again had he prosecuted a charge of incitement against this guy who was trying to provoke the response that he got.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. He made this happen, and he deserves it. And I'm shit.
Well, I'm gonna stop. I'm gonna stop short of he deserves it.
No,
because
I'm not
in the business of judging who deserves what.
No,
because you know I always fall back on the prophet Clint Eastwood. Deserving's got nothing to do with it.
Well, here's why I think he deserves it, because he set it up to happen, and that was the impending consequence of the softball bat hitting his head, which I thought was a golf club, and her batting 1,000, because his actions and him not leaving made that happen. All those actions led to that actually happening. So in my worldview, he deserved the consequences of all of his actions.
Okay, let's pull back from deserving. Let us say in some legalese weasel language, let us say that what happened there was a reasonably foreseeable consequence of his conduct.
Okay, I'm cool with that. I wonder if Pastor Manning puts his hands on him, on his head, the bleeding will go away. Asshole.
Hey, nice turnaround there.
See,
here's one more interesting thing.
Sure.
This video got out into the interweb tubes because it's video that Brother Dean Saxton was shooting of himself.
Oh, and he's a narcissist. Surprise, surprise.
You know, another teacher came up to him and said, I'm trying to influence the fact that you need to be gone. I think you're a disgrace to Christianity. Why don't you go and preach it to somebody who really wants to hear your message, like Westboro Baptist Church, okay?
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah. And so, you know, several people had remonstrated with him in an attempt to prevent this from happening.
Yeah, foreseeable consequence works for me. Though in my heart, he deserved it. Fuck him.
But the larger issue here is where our fetishization, because this has gone from being a matter of protecting religious liberties, this has gone from that to fetishization. And where is this fetishization of religion going to end up taking us, Thomas?
Clearly to a softball bat to the head.
No, but beyond that.
Well,
I mean, because they're out there, and it's all tax-free, they're out there every day screaming about how they want to remake this country in their image. And you know what? Brother Dean Saxton is every bit as much of a Christian as any other, because he believes in all the right magic stuff.
Well, yeah.
And so while you've got the one person there who says, you're a disgrace to Christianity, but the problem is, he's still a Christian.
Well, that's why you separated him.
And so he is every now. Okay, let's try to back up here, and look at this from a different angle. What if an atheist walks around with a sign that says, "You deserve to be raped"? Okay.
I'm with you.
Whatever happens to that atheist, is whatever happens to that atheist is going to be deemed he deserved it by a whole bunch of Christians. Because then it will be offensive because of who delivered the message. And that's kind of where I'm trying to get to, Thomas.
No, I hear you, and maybe it's my youth still. And I'll admit that, and maybe it's my frustration with this. But at this point, fighting this the way you do and the way I try to, I say what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
And understand, this guy has been doing this for years. Marty just sent me a story from 2013, okay? The spiritual mentor of Brother Saxton is proud of his message. Okay? Jed Smock. Smock you, buddy.
Yeah, what a name.
Of Campus Ministry USA went to his Facebook page back in 2013 and said, I've often said on campus, you girls in your immodest, scanty attire are asking for it. You might as well have a sign on your back saying, rape me, rape me, rape me. Brother Dean IV at the University of Arizona has put this admonition in even stronger terms with his sign, you deserve rape. He's challenging women not to be in places where they ought not to be, such as parading in the streets and bars at night, especially unescorted. Jesus Christ, do you realize if you pull the Jesus out of this stuff, you can drop this guy smack dab in the middle of Saudi Arabia, and he will be a Wahhabist like that?
Well, yeah, but that doesn't compute with them. By the way, third Star Trek reference. it doesn't compute that they're doing the exact same thing they claim to hate, because they don't see any logic and reason in this. They see fear and loathing and contempt for women because, you know, all they are to these men is breeding tools. And to be able to lay hands on when they're sleeping, because that's not creepy.
No, but it brings us right back to the question: can we not have a better society by establishing a few simple rules that you don't do this kind of shit? I mean, it hasn't caused the fall. It hasn't caused the breakup of society in Sweden or Canada. Or anywhere else in Europe with hate speech laws, because it's universal. You also can't walk around with a sign that says kill all the Catholics, or kill all the Muslims, or kill all the Jews, or rape all the women. There is a general social agreement that is a limit that should not be crossed. But in this country, we say, dirty up the dialogue any way you want to. And I will not say that this guy deserved to be whacked in the head with a baseball bat. I mean, the first thing I thought of when I saw the clip was that scene from The Untouchables, you know, with Robert De Niro. You like mm-hmm. baseball? I like baseball. It's a team sport. Whack!
Yeah.
But, you know, wooden baseball bats are a lot more dense than... I guess Jesus protected him from having somebody with a wooden baseball bat come after him.
Well, Jesus only goes so far with assholes.
Oh, by the way, we do have a correction here. We were talking about Mother Angelica a little bit ago.
Yes.
Herman says, I have a correction for you. Mother Angelica did pass away. She passed away of a stroke on Easter Sunday, March 27th, 2016. Thought you'd like to know. Thank you very much. Sincerely, Herman. Thank you, Herman. So, Jesus caused a great big explosion in her brain, too? Is that Jesus' favorite form of execution now?
Well, when you got an M.O., you got an M.O.
But the Lord, you know, one, Why do these creepers troll schools? Why? Because their parents aren't there to protect them. And you know, how does Brother Dean define immodest attire? Does he want them in abayas, or are abayas heretical and they need to be in burkas? Or do they need to just be in dresses that don't that might show a little ankle, you know, because, you know, Brother Dean gets off on a little ankle.
But no cankle.
Stop that. You're trying to drag me into the swamp again. But I mean, I mean, there is some hope. The atheists are planning what they call a reason rally. It happens, maybe happening now. A whole bunch of atheists are getting together in Washington, D.C. on the Mall. And so naturally the Christians came out, or at least planned to. The reason rally has a permit to assemble and all the stuff that's been deemed to be, you know, legal. If you're gonna have a whole bunch of people gathered together to rally, you know, in the name of public safety, you go and you tell people, you know, we're gonna do this, and you get a permit. Okay.
Again, logic and reason, clearly.
Yeah, right. So they got their permit, and all of a sudden, the Christians came along in the form of Ray Comfort, who had ginned up around 1,000 other Christians who were going to invade the Reason Rally. But they were going to what they were going to do is they were going to give away copies of Ray Comfort's new book to all the heathens, and they were going to give away $25,000 worth of Subway gift cards as a gesture of Christian love.
Okay. God's got to eat.
Yeah, well, what does God need with a Subway sandwich? I would say, knowing what I know about Subway, yeah, why Subway? After all, you know, their spokes guy was a child predator.
Well, you got to pick after, you know.
I would have thought they would have gone to Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
But maybe that was too obvious, and they realized the Christians, I mean, the atheists wouldn't eat Chick-fil-A.
And do they really want atheists there?
So the D.C. police got wind of it, and they got hold of Brother Comfort and said, uh-uh, sucker. You want to be there, you got to stay all the way at the other end of the National Mall. And if you try to get near the atheists, we will arrest your ass. Yeah, maybe the D.C. cops are a little better at this. So he's still going to be there, but he's not going to bring 1,000 people with him. Ray Comfort isn't. He's just going to bring his TV crew of 17, you know, because, and it's all tax-free.
Wait. That was a get-out-of-jail-free card to try and find 1,000 people who would actually show up to that thing.
Well, I thought about that too, Thomas.
I'm just saying.
So, and of course, he's persecuted, Ray Comfort is. He said, in what is so often a cruel world, we tried to show a little kindness and it didn't work. So now it looks like we'll be eating Subway sandwiches for the next 40 years. And then the friendly atheist blog reached out, and have now shamed Ray Comfort into saying that he would give the gift cards to homeless people.
That's a way to do it, at least.
Well, Hermont Mehta, who runs the friendly atheist blog, said that's a classy move, even if it is probably another way just to proselytize. But see, on the other hand, you know, because 17 is not a big enough group to need a permit, that like Brother Dean could get away with carrying his "You Deserve to Be Raped" sign up and screaming at the atheists.
Yeah.
And so it's really not a solution to the problem. I mean, Ray Comfort is gonna walk around and stick cameras in the faces of people who merely want to celebrate the fact that they are free of free of having to worship some invisible bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky.
Why are you talking bad about drag queens? Sorry, I had to.
No. Wait, we're done with the Jan Crouch part. Yeah.
But to your broader point with all this, right? Here's, and then I've taken up a lot of time, so I'm going to let you go. If we're looking for logic and reason, I don't think we're ever going to manage to find it with anybody who deals in faith. I mean, there might be a sparse few that we can talk with, but they live and breathe in the First Amendment. And as long as they're not out fighting against like people like Tony Perkins and being loud about it, and all these like gay hate laws and everything else that are cropping up, we're not gonna be able to, you know, get to a point where we have any kind of resolution dealing with, you know, if there is such a thing, proper religious folks. And I believe there is. I mean, I know my mom at least is. And I'm sure there are others other than my mom. So, but they need to step up to the plate. It can't just be us, because we're just some heathens, right?
Oh, there you go. But by the way, in what may be a hopeful moment, you know, Mississippi Stan has a more hateful potty law than even North Carolina does. And Governor Phil Bryant down there in Mississippi Stan, he's drawn a line in the sand. This is special. This is good. Let me see if I can get the audio to work. Computer's being a little titchy. Maybe not. Well, anyway.
See, that's that Jesus juice for you.
Well, there you go.
Governor
Bryant said of people who object to their hate bill down in Mississippi Stan, he said, "They don't know that Christians have been persecuted throughout the ages. They don't know that if it takes crucifixion, we will stand in line before abandoning our faith and our belief in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So if we're going to stand, now's the time and this is the place. Yes, be crucified just like Jesus over the potty." No, I mean Jesus. I don't mean that Jesus was crucified over the potty. I mean, he was crucified on a cross on a hill.
I was going to check on that. I'm glad you cleared that up for me.
No, I caught myself. But I don't think I healed anything when I did. But you know, so cool. Line up, Mississippi Christians. World be a better place. But then again, nobody's... Lottie in the chat room just said, "Bob, I'll get the wood if you'll bring the nails." Who's bringing the hammer?
And just get a.
Can we get a couple of lions?
Bob, all we need is a softball bat. We don't need no hammer.
I don't think the softball. You know, because it's rounded and you can't get a real good. You want a flat surface. You get a good, nice bang.
You got to stop them from crying initially. I'm a jackass.
Well, that. I didn't say that. You did. But really, really, that because their persecution complex is completely out of hand. And nobody's threatening to crucify anybody. It's just that people would like to go to the potty without being murdered, or have the living hell beaten out of them, which is what happens when a trans person tries to go into their birth gender bathroom a lot of the time. But for them, it's right next door to crucifixion.
Well, you gotta have a reason to buy that St. Andrew's cross there, Bob, and that's their reason.
Ooh-wee, Lord Jesus.
I had someone, not exactly fun, but It was something. I hope the rest of the show you don't get haunted by Mama Jan, since we talk so much about her. And I will break out my Ouija board for you if you do, okay?
I would appreciate that.
And you have a great night, Bob, and hopefully more will follow me into yonder.
When the roll is called up yonder. Okay, no more singing, I promise.
Yeah, don't do that. I'm not allowed to either. Jules will kick my ass.
See, all these people with all these damned rules. I mean,
I know, right? But you have a great night, Bob.
All right, you take it easy, Thomas. It's been a lot of fun. Thanks for the call.
No problem, my friend.
Bye now. The one and only Thomas from FYINation.com had a note earlier from Steve in Georgistan. He was hanging on the stress line for a while. I said, I'm hanging on the stress line, and I really don't even know what that means. He says he could barely hear me, but he had to get off the line. He says, because Karen, the boss, wants me to take her to the store, so I got to hang up at Jet. Keep up the good work, and I'd really like to chew the fat with you some night. And we will. We will. Steve and Karen helped us complete Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge this evening. And he said, I'm so grateful I've been in a financial position to help your show out a little bit of late. You've got a talent, Bob, and I'd hate to see it go to waste due to lack of funding. Well, I blush. I do. But also, for the community over there in the real-time multimedia madcap zany extravaganza known as the Horn Chat Room, Steve has a note. By the way, the folks in the chat room are really cool, really good folks, and I enjoy our back and forths. So thank you, Steve. Thank you very, very kindly. Heck of a prayer meeting Wednesday, huh? And the thing is, we're not necessarily done. I had no idea that the Jehovah's Witnesses had such a busy little video ministry. Oh dear, oh dear. Yeah, Thomas, you're in trouble. Yes, yes. Jules says, yes, I will kick his ass, Bob Kincaid. No singing, Thomas. Lucky for me, Agnes wasn't back here. But, no, really. They've got a video ministry, the Jehovah's Witnesses do. They're having their regional conferences this summer, according to Tom Bagioni, T-Bog, over at Raw Story. And parents of independent teens and young adults are instructed to shun their children when they are unable to bring them to heel within the strict confines of the church's rules. And this particular video is only in Spanish, because I guess they're trying to reach out to the Spanish community. And what so what they want them to do is put the Jehovah's Witness Church, the Kingdom Hall, as it were, ahead of their own family if their children don't want to participate in the weirdness. They've even got a word for it. And no, it's not excommunication. It's disfellowshipping. Let's check it out in Spanish. I'll share the subtitles with you along the way. Looking back, I realized that my parents made a lot of effort to do things properly, like Jehovah wants. But as I didn't hate what was bad, I didn't see that my decisions were wrong. In time, I did things which I later regretted, and it shows a pretty young white blonde woman, again, this is in Spanish, walking away with some guy, I guess, where they're presumably going to go and he's going to, you know, heal her breast cancer or something. I ended up being disfellowshipped from the congregation. My family felt devastated. And so it shows the pretty little blonde girl getting daggers stared at her by the loving followers of Jesus there in her kingdom hall. And she gets up and leaves. Later, my dad explained that I couldn't carry on living with them because I didn't want to change my lifestyle.
Papá me explicó que no podía seguir viviendo con ellos porque yo no quería cambiar mi estilo de vida.
Estilo de vida, I got that. He told me that I was a bad influence on my younger siblings. Last I checked, she just held hands with a guy.
Negativa para mis hermanos menores. Pues me voy de esta casa.
Past Sonia says, well, I'm leaving this house. I had decided to do whatever I wanted, which apparently was filling a suitcase and going down the stairs while the tinny piano plays. That must be Mother playing the piano.
El día que me fui de casa, solo pensé...
The day I left home, I only thought about Eric. Ah, his name's Eric. I see. Lady Suki in the chat room says, well, Bob, they can't share the intimate details. And she slammed the door. Obviously, she's a heathen. I didn't care about the pain I was causing my parents. Or, you know, maybe they didn't care about the pain they were causing you, Sonia. But, of course, you're a female, and therefore, in the eyes of religion, that's all your fault anyway. I mean... if Eve hadn't had that conversation with that gossipy Gabon viper, well, we'd all be living in the... Well, no, we wouldn't, because they only discovered sex after they figured out... Say, well, wait a minute. They sinned by eating the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and then they figured out how to have sex. Because sex is sinful. Ah! But the church wants people to procreate. And then, you know, sin is transmitted through the lady parts into every baby, male or female. But the female, the little baby females, get an extra dose of sin so they can pass it on when they have babies. See how theology works? Isn't it just uplifting? Arthur in the chat room. Wait a minute. You get one of those, Arthur. Thanks, Obama. I mean, Eve. we'll get that cowbell to do double duty for Lady Suki, too. Do the Jehovah's Witnesses not have actual Mexicans? At least enough for this crappy video? And Arthur also pointing out that holding hands is a gateway grope. So back when we were listening to Past Sonia, she didn't care about how she was hurting her parents. And they apparently didn't give a shit about how they were hurting her. Right? Right. See, Mama's quit playing the piano and she's weeping onto her cruel-hearted, cold-as-stone, muy macho husband's shoulder. Oh, now Mama's gone to her baby's bedroom and she's picking up her journal. I didn't think about the sadness and disappointment I caused them. I was such a hand-holding slut! I blamed for my situation. I even blamed Jehovah, who was invisible and not really there. So there's not a lot of point in it, Sonia. But there she is, reduced to sitting on a couch, and she's not wearing makeup anymore, and the highlights have gone out of her pretty blonde hair. Meanwhile, back at Casa de Parentes, despite everything that happened, my parents missed me a lot. They're sitting there on the same sofa but at a great distance between each other, while a fireplace burns in the distance, and they're reading Jehovah's Witness stuff.
Lo que había hecho. Mi familia me extrañaba mucho.
Mother's quit playing the piano. They've had to hire a guitar player to come in. Well, at least they didn't go all Old Testament on her ass and stone her to death. What helped them stay loyal to Jehovah all those years I was out of the congregation? What? What?
¿Les ayudó a permanecer leales a Jehová todos esos años que estuve fuera de la congregación? El ejemplo.
The biblical example of Aaron. Because, you know, a mythological Hebrew guy from thousands of years ago. It's just like a pretty little blonde girl who holds hands with Eric. That's what that is.
Bíblico de Aarón. Jehová directamente dio muerte a dos de los hijos de Aarón.
Yeah, by the way, Aaron is, Aaron's just as white as white can be.
Jehová directamente dio muerte a dos de los hijos de Aarón. En esa ocasión, les ordenó.
On this occasion, he ordered his sons not to express sadness so the whole nation could see that they agreed with the divine decision. Jehovah must have killed somebody. One of these days we'll catch that bastard.
A él y a su familia, que no expresaran tristeza, para que toda la nación viera que estaban de acuerdo con esa decisión divina. Mamá y papá sabían que tenían.
Mum, M-U-M, mum. Because that old Castilian word, mum. Mum and Dad knew that they had to remain loyal like Aaron. They wanted me to return to Jehovah. Who, of course, if she was in Iraq, would not let her have a transfusion.
Tenían que ser leales como lo fue Aarón. Ellos me querían y deseaban que yo volviera a Jehová.
Mum and Dad knew that they had to remain loyal like Aaron. Yes, yes, yes. So Mum is doing dishes while Dad again sits at the table reading something. Don't you do anything, Dad? Oh, now she's trying to call them, and that's what Dad's doing, not picking up the phone. I tried to communicate with them. I wanted to speak to them and hear their voice.
Quería hablar con ellos y oír su voz.
But Dad just reads.
Extrañaba estar en
I missed familia. Being in the family. They also thought ellos about approaching me.
En acercarse a mí. Pero sabían bien.
But they well knew that if they had contacted me, even for something as simple as asking how I was doing, that little dose would have been enough.
Bien, que si hubieran tenido contacto conmigo, aunque fuera solo un poco para saber cómo estaba.
And so she hangs up. Her makeup is all gone. She's wearing nothing but black. And Eric isn't there to hold her hand. And she's got her hair pulled back now, in a ponytail, and it's not hanging down all huzzy-like like it was when she was with Eric.
Pequeña dosis me habría bastado. Me habría hecho creer que no necesitaba volver.
If they had even contacted me, it would have made me think that I didn't have to return to Jehovah.
Volver a acercarme a Jehová.
Yeah, that's what the almighty creator of the universe wants. Mm-hmm. He wants families, which supposedly the religion industry is all about, families. They got family values, after all. But Jehovah wants families to be rocked and split apart and heartbroken, you know, for him. Because, you know, Jehovah's this needful thing. He says right there in his own book, I am a jealous God. You know, and apparently jealous of everything. Jealous of Eric. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Meanwhile, a little good news. Over at the New Civil Rights Movement, they've got a post about a young man named Morgan Faulkner. Morgan Faulkner, at one point in time, was the class president at Trinity Academy. And Trinity Academy, of course, as the name might imply, is just all Jesus-y, only not in a nice way. It's never in a nice way, is it? Well, Morgan Faulkner dropped the dime on Trinity Academy. He said, blind obedience and unconditional deference to authority are core components of Trinity's cultural, internal cultural culture, and the implementation of these values leaves students woefully unprepared for the culture shock they experience after graduating or leaving. Simply put, this is a school that enforces a culture of shame. Well, the religion's based on shame, for God's sakes. Think about poor Sonia and Eric there. And well, these people are going to hell anyway because they're not Jehovah's Witnesses. And there's only 144,000 of them that are going to go to paradise. Yeah, I guess the rest of them are just going to have to hang out somewhere, you know, playing accordions. Don't even get a harp. But, no, Morgan Faulkner provided a report to the Friendly Atheist about something going on at Trinity Academy in Wichita, Kansas, Stan. Hi, Diane. Trinity Academy has its own rule that says the school can expel a student, of course, for being gay, bi, or trans. I mean, that goes without saying. And, of course, they've got religious freedom under the First Amendment to do that because they're special. Here's where it gets interesting, though. If a student is straight at Trinity Academy in Wichita, Kansas, Stan, they also have a rule that says they can expel the straight student if the straight student has LGBT relatives, or if the straight student behaves in any way supportive of LGBT people. If you're not a hater, you don't get to stay in Trinity Academy. Mm-hmm. Isn't that nice? You pay God knows how much money to send your kid to a religious school, and then they find out his third cousin is gay, and they, oh, I'm sorry. No, we don't give the money back. Now, of course, Trinity has denied Morgan what Morgan Faulkner has alleged. Trinity's whole intent is to make sure families know what we believe so we can partner together successfully for the good of the students. Yeah, oddly enough, that's a non-denial denial, isn't it? Morgan Faulkner is bi. Morgan Faulkner graduated in 2013. And he says they're doing everything there they can to preserve their isolated echo chamber until it, you know, collapses on itself. Which it won't do, because it is propped up by the full force and effect of the Constitution of the United States of America. Or, if not by the Constitution, by the way we insist on interpreting it. Now, somehow or another, we have managed to get through this entire prayer meeting Wednesday, and I'm happy to say we've gotten through it without talking about the presidential election much, if at all. Thomas tried. Nuh-uh. And so even though there's a whole lot of sewery kind of stuff here, it's at least not the sewer of presidential politics. And I don't know what outrageous horseshit the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini has engaged in. Don't care. He flies around in that jet a lot. It takes a lot to keep a jet in the air. Bolt here, screw there, rivet somewhere else, and I would not shed a tear if that were to happen. That is in no wise, I'm just saying. But one of the things we've managed, and I don't, it's not very often we can get through a prayer meeting Wednesday without going to Texas, and well, this one's not going to be any different. Yeah, this is a dandy. It's a real beauty. Let's check in with a little video from AJ Plus, shall we? Oh, it's Texas. There's gunfire, of course.
A lot of us here are using either pig's blood or bacon grease on our bullets, packing it in the middle.
Why?
So that when you shoot a Muslim, they go straight to hell. That's what they believe in their religion.
Don't fuck with white people.
What do you see?
Yeah, I see it. What if there's a group of them? Then how would you do it?
The next step in jihad does not involve random sporadic attacks. They start killing people. They start slaughtering people wholesale. I'm not going to wait till we get to that point. I'm going to start doing something about it now.
He's going to start doing something about it now. What we're talking about is, of course, a militia in Texas. Mm-hmm. Among other things, anti-Muslim hate groups have gone so far as to publish the names and contact information, addresses of Muslim families in Garland, Texas. They have published the names and contact information of people that they refer to as sympathizers who won't speak out against, and you become a sympathizer by simply not agreeing with these militia thugs in public meetings. But, and this is kind of a theological question, I realize, and that's shifting sands, if anything is. By buying into the whole pig's blood, bacon grease thing, well, from a technical standpoint, that cannot be good for the inner workings of a firearm. Manufacturers of firearms are pretty specific about the things one should and should not use inside the barrel of a rifle or a shotgun. But secondly, when they say things like, a lot of us here are using either pig's blood or bacon grease on our bullets so that when you shoot a Muslim, they go straight to hell. That's what they believe in their religion. Well, apparently, Cletus believes it too, because he's packing his bullets with bacon grease. But again, the reason I went back to this story also from T-Bog over at rawstory.com. Don't fuck with white people. You know, because there aren't any white Muslims. None of them. Ever. Anywhere. I mean, they turn colors when they turn Muslim. Right? You know, because, you know, who needs to know anything about world history or culture or geography or Muslim incursions into the Balkans and the fact that they made it all the way to Vienna? Tim from L.A. in the chat room pointing out, I know a lot of white Muslims, but that's California for you. Yeah. Don't fuck with white people. But aren't they buying into Muslim theology with the and they go straight to, but they, I don't think there's anything that says you go, really? This is one of those moments where it would be handy to have someone well-versed in Muslim ideology and theology. Because I don't think there's anything that says, behold, if thine enemy shoot thee with a, and of course there were no guns back in the time of Muhammad when he was writing the Quran and then the Hadith and all that stuff. But I don't think there's anything in there that says, yea, verily, behold, for Allah is a good God, but if they dip their arrows in pig blood or bacon grease... Was there even bacon in the 7th century? Or more appropriately, in the Crusades? You know, okay, so maybe it was pancetta. Okay, but for behold, I am a good and a loving God, but yea, verily, if they dip their arrows in or their swords in pig's blood or bacon grease, yea, verily, I shall not let you into paradise. That's on you. Ha, psych! Because I don't think that's in the Quran. Because that would kind of be a really, really shitty, cruel prank for Allah to pull on his people of the book. White people. And you know, of course, that there is a straight-up, full-on, no kidding, right-wing, purple polka-dotted, blue-screaming hissy. And of course, all those hissies are that way. Brother Deacon Gerald adds, here's a little pro tip for these fucks. Putting bacon grease on bullets isn't likely to send a Muslim to hell any faster than where they're going in the first place. Okay, yeah. Meanwhile, Brother Deacon Asa asks, how long do you think these militia goons would last if they were dropped in the middle of some Afghan mountain ranges with all their guns a-toting? Not 15 seconds. But see, they're not going to... Don't you remember Asa, back when Dim Leader said, we're fighting them over there so we won't have to fight them here. Well, these guys are waiting until we have to fight them here. Because, I mean, it's kind of inconvenient to... join the military and go through boot camp and have to march around, march up and down the square, and then there's some marching and there's some guy calling you a maggot for a while, and then you have to be a private and you don't and you can't even choose what kind of gun you want to shoot. Here in Merca, we can pick any kind of gun we want because we got lots of guns. So they're not going to put up with that inconvenience of joining a military. They're going to form their own militia. Where do you think they get the bacon grease from? They go on campouts and the breakfast is tasty. I mean, they got some eggs and they got some bacon and they got some of them bagged pre-shredded hash brown taters and they use their little Coleman camp stove and they have a nice breakfast and maybe they bring their French press coffee maker and they have some coffee and maybe they some donuts. I mean, isn't National Donut Day coming up? I heard somewhere that it were. And so they're going to wait for the Muslims to come to them. Because apparently they hang out on a bridge over a river. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. No, it's not that bridge. Brother Deacon Gerald says, quite honestly, I don't know what's in the Quran. My expertise is in building and grounds. The only reason I know what I know about the Holy Bible is because I was indoctrinated into it as a child. Ha ha! I think we have a clue. But meanwhile, there is a hissy underway. The Daily Caller, which is a right-wing rag, is quite concerned. And for good reason, most concerned with where that one will be going once he's no longer living in our White House. See, he's not doing like all the other presidents did and leaving Washington, D.C. No, he's staying there because he's planning a Kenyan Muslim you slurperlution. He's going to be right there in D.C., ready to take the government back from a good, God, fair, and honest, Bible-believing, upstanding Christian white man like Donald T. Rump. Nah, actually, the Obamas are staying in Washington so they don't have to pull Sasha out of high school and then stick her in another high school. A likely story. That's the kind of subterfuge your secret Kenyan Muslim you slurper will engage in just to stay close to the seat of power. So they got in a house. They're moving. The Obamas are moving to an good work if you can get it. They're moving to an 8,200 square foot mansion in the Kalorama neighborhood in Washington, D.C. But it's not as simple as all that. It never is. After all, he's the Kenyan Muslim, you slurper. What does a Kenyan Muslim, you slurper, need to be near? Mm-hmm. Got to have a mosque, doesn't he? Where he can go over there five times a day and kneel down on some rug and pray toward Mecca. Mm-hmm. Well, there it is. Right there in your Daily Caller. The mammoth. Wait, there are elephants? There are fuzzy, hairy, woolly elephants that we thought were extinct. The mammoth multi-million-dollar mansion. That's a lot of M's. Where President Barack Obama and his family will reportedly live after the first family exits the White House is located 1,096 feet. Tucker Carlson measured it. 1,096 feet from the Islamic Center of Washington. Yes! Oh my God! It's real. From the Islamic Center of Washington, one of the largest mosques in the Western Hemisphere. The Islamic Center in our nation's capital, the Daily Caller continues, also provides help for families in need, holds wedding ceremonies, organizes language courses, offers counseling, and makes available ample significant research material related to Islam. Well, what more do you need to know? Dear God, the flag is falling. Any day now, he's going to reveal his secret plan to make us all be Muslims. Granted, it's been almost 8 years, but then he's going to come and take all our guns. And release his army of young black male FEMA Obama Muslim you slurper soldiers on our white women. You know what else is in that Calorama neighborhood? Gay bars. Lots of gay bars. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you forgot he's not just a Kenyan Muslim U-slurper. He's a Kenyan Muslim gay U-slurper. And it's all going to happen right there in our nation's capital. How long can we last? How much more can we stand? Just a little less than 1,100 feet from a mosque. The imams will be there every day at his house, drinking tea and eating your hummus and your falafel. It's what they do, you know. And they'll be contemplating the Quran. Wake up, sheeple! And his transgendered wife, Michelle, is going to be there, too. I bet she's going to perform in one of them gay draggy bars. And you think... You think everything's going to be all right if we just get T-Rump? As hard times are coming. And Merca is just going to sit there and go and vote and think we don't begin to know how dangerous it all is, but at least they do over to the Daily Crawler. Well, so that wraps up Prayer Meeting Wednesday. I hope you were spiritually uplifted and fulfilled, as was I. Keep your hands to yourself while you're asleep. People who are asleep tend not to like to be groped therein. I mean, that's something only James David Manning can do, right? Right. Thanks to everybody who kicked in to help meet Shirley's Wisconsin challenge. Jim and Jim, Randy, Steve and Karen, Jay, thank you very kindly. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa and Brother Deacon Gerald. And thank you to everyone who helps keep all of this going. We'll be back tomorrow evening with Thorn in the Side Thursday. And them damn thorns grow fast and sharp overnight. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you to John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.